Let us hear the word of our Lord. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let us hear the story again of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "People of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
This is Pentecost. Everything is different. Everything is new. Everything. This is the birth of the church. The wind swirls, a hurricane blows, the stale air is forced out, the dust disappears in an instant. The air is fresh, the light is all around. The Holy Spirit enters our lives and we become a new creation. It turns us around, turns our lives upside down, blows away the stale and the old. Christ enters our lives and we are made new. We are made whole. This is the birth of the church. We are gathered here in this place, in this time, to be something new, to refresh the old, to reboot the past, to be the church God created us to be the new creation. This is the Pentecost. God is here. Christ is here. The Spirit is here, and we are part of it. We are the new creation.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come to your word this day, we pray that you would come to us, filling our hearts, filling our minds, our very souls with your will for our lives. Lord, as we come to your word, may it truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, through Jesus our Savior. Amen. As we come to the Pentecost story, we come to what is to my mind maybe the most astonishing of the three big stories, the stories of our faith. The story of Christmas, absolutely miraculous with angels and with shepherds and with the virgin birth. Of course, the story of the crucifixion with the cross, with the empty tomb. But there is just something about this story. Jesus is gone up to heaven, ascended into heaven. We know that 10 days ago. But when as he ascended into heaven, he says to the disciples, he says, go back to the city and wait until you have been given power from on high. And here we are. This wild, wild story. The disciples gathered in that room, gathered in that upper room, and all of a sudden there's wind and there's tongues of fire and there's the ability to speak other languages. People from all over that part of the world understanding as the disciples spoke to them. It's visual straight out of Spielberg or some other movie director. Which in many ways for us is a little bit of a problem because it can all seem like smoke and mirrors. It can all seem like special effects. We who have seen everything on the big screen, for us it's almost as though we say, well, is it really real? Or how can we possibly live up to the story again? Certainly it almost our own sense of having seen everything makes it so easy to take this story for granted. But here we are in this amazing story, and yet also this confusing story. Confusing because I don't think we're always sure of what it means. I mean, certainly it would have been very confusing for them. Yes, there was absolutely the clarity that comes to the disciples, the clarity that comes to Peter. But what do we do now? How do we go from this place? Where does it all make sense? But 2,000 years on, for us as Presbyterians in particular, what to do? How do we deal with the Holy Spirit? How do we make sense of the Holy Spirit's presence? Doesn't come naturally to us. We as Presbyterians think like things much more orderly than that. I remember once describing the work of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit itself as the wild child of the Trinity, that there's a sense in which the Spirit comes and goes. In the Greek, it's pneuma, which is the same word as wind. The wind blows where it will, says Jesus. You see it, you hear it, but you can't control it. And we have, as Presbyterians of all things, love control. I remember years ago hearing the joke of the three ministers who were at a lunch meeting, and the restaurant catches on fire, and the Pentecostal yells, fire! And the Baptist yells, water! And the Presbyterian yells, order! And there's a sense of that in us, isn't there? I would certainly in my own life, and maybe in yours as well, go so far as to say that the presence of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, is that one aspect of the Trinity that maybe we are the most unfamiliar with. And dare I say, the one that we are the least comfortable with. We don't like change. And the Holy Spirit comes to change. We don't like disruption, and the Holy Spirit comes to disrupt. And I have to point out that not only does the Holy Spirit disrupt our lives and our world, but the Holy Spirit disrupts even Scripture. You'll recall that it's through the Holy Spirit that the Gentiles were invited into the kingdom through Jesus. That disrupted thousands of years of Scripture. But as much as we are uncomfortable with change, as much as we are uncomfortable with disruption, the reality is that as we come to this Pentecost 2021, the second Pentecost in the global pandemic of COVID, we know that change is everywhere, and the kind of disruption and the kind of change that we have experienced. Now, hear me well. I'm not saying this change is spirit given. What I am saying is that the change that we have experienced means that we can change. In fact, one of the things that I am increasingly realizing in my work and my ministry is that one of the outcomes of COVID is that never, ever again will we be able to say we are Presbyterians. We can't change. We have changed. There has been so much change. I mean, just even the bonkers idea of me standing in the pulpit of Morningside High Park Presbyterian Church preaching to you at Central Cambridge. So much change. And as I think about that change, and so if I think about the change here, and I think about the presence of the Holy Spirit there, it seems to me that those two things have so much to do with each other, that there is something for the Spirit for us. There is something about the role of the Spirit for us. And as we talk about that, I would like to talk about three specific things. Two of them I would preach to you every single Pentecost. One of them is my new learning over this season of COVID. The first task of the Spirit is that of comforter. In John chapter 14, in verses 25 and 26, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." As well, in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you." So as Jesus in the Gospel of John introduces the presence, the coming presence of the Holy Spirit, the very first thing that he says is that the Spirit is our advocate, that the Spirit is there on our behalf, that the Spirit is there for us. And if we have ever needed the comfort of the Spirit, surely this year has been it. If we have ever needed the presence of the Spirit, especially in our loneliness, in our disconnectedness, in our, you know, for all of those who have lost a loved one and been unable to bury them properly, or those who have had friends who have been sick and not able to visit, or even just family members, grandparents that we can't see anywhere but on Zoom, the Spirit comes to comfort us. What a powerful, powerful message. What a truly and genuinely important need. The second piece is that the Spirit comes as the teacher. Again, verse 26, that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have taught you. And it seems to me that if this year, again, if this year has been anything, it's been a year of learning. Yes, of course, you know, we've learned about COVID and we've learned about variants and we've learned about masks and we've learned about vaccines and we've learned about AstraZeneca and Moderna and every other kind of thing that had never bothered to, you know, never been an issue to us ever before. But we'd also have learned, what does church mean? What is church when we can't be in our buildings anymore, when we can't have those sort of familiar touchstones anymore, those things that we have come to rely on, choir practices and praise teams and Bible studies and in-person things and all those things, what have we learned? Now, I have to say over and over and over again that you know, God doesn't send hardship to teach us lessons. But if we don't learn lessons from hardship, then it completely goes to waste. That there's a sense in which we are called to learn these things. And if we haven't learned from this time, then we of all people are to be pitied. And as we move forward, as we start to think about what does life after COVID look like, more learning will be needed. How do we do that? Well, my sense is that if the Spirit is there to teach us, then we better listen to the Spirit so that we might learn. Spirit of grace, the Spirit of love, Spirit of imagination, the Spirit of joy. Those are two fairly traditional, fairly, I think, normal understandings of the work of the Spirit, the notion of Spirit as comforter, the Spirit as teacher. But I think the third thing that we need to understand is that the Spirit calls the church to a particular kind of unity. That the Spirit calls to the church to a radical unity, one that, well, frankly, if we aren't a part of, we are missing the point of what the Spirit is. And in the midst of all of the COVID stuff, we very quickly realized how unequal this disease is. How not that people don't get more or less sick, but how it has disproportionately affected some populations over others. At the same time as we've been wrestling with COVID, we've had to take Black Lives Matter and other such movements seriously. Some of us for the very first time. And the one reality that comes out of COVID is that unless we all get better, nobody gets better. You know, we talk about herd immunity, and at some level, you know, I'm slightly overstating, but you know what I mean? That unless we all get vaccinated, nobody gets vaccinated. In Black Lives Matter, unless there is justice for all, there is justice for none. And so my big learning, my big understanding over this past year of COVID, and quite frankly, brothers and sisters, over this Pentecost Sunday, is to be reminded that we are not just called to personal salvation, but that we are called to a corporate salvation. That we are called to be a part of God's whole big church, that we are called to be part of God's whole big plan for the people of Israel, for the children of God, for the entire world. That's not how we've always understood it. I think that we all recognize at some level that Pentecost is the birthday of the church, that it is the beginning of the church. And that, if we'd left it there, that would have been great. That would have been enough. But the reality is we moved then, didn't we, where we moved from it to be the birthday of the church to being the birthday of a particular kind of church, the Pentecostal church. And if you weren't Pentecostal, well, then of course, you're excluded. And then sometimes it even moved to the birthday of a particular kind of a congregation. Well, you know, if it's my congregation, well, then why should I care about you? Because you're not like me. And then we moved from certain congregations to certain people. Well, if you don't speak in tongues or have the visible gifts of the Spirit or whatever, and all of a sudden, as we think about the work of the Spirit in each of those steps, it seems like it's more focused on me and less care about you. In fact, I would go so far as to suggest that for many in the church, the work of the Spirit becomes a litmus test of true faith. It becomes more of a gate, more of a wall than what it was intended to be, a part of God's plan for the entire world. If these past 508 days have taught us nothing, if the presence of the Holy Spirit has taught us nothing, is that we can't take each other for granted anymore. We can't say, because you're not like me, you don't matter. We can't say there's a church with Christ and a church and everybody else. Well, you know, literally we can say go to hell. That we are all in this together. And lest you think that that's not scriptural. Lest you think that the presence of the Holy Spirit is not part of God's plan for corporate salvation, for complete salvation for the world. Let me close with another familiar verse of Scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, Jesus said, not for God so loved the church, not for God so loved the congregation, not for God so loved me, but God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the worlds, but that the world should have life through him. Here again, the work of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the life of the believers, chapter 2, verses 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had needs. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. For God so loved the whole world. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us draw our hearts once again together before the Lord. Let us pray. Lord our God, Creator, Savior, Spirit of comfort, Spirit of teaching, Spirit of unity, come to us now. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your peace. Come to us in this time of such crazy change and guide us, help us, teach us. Come to us in this time when we yearn so badly for what was and remind us, sometimes kick us in the butt, move us ahead to what will be. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. And if there was ever a time that we need to be in tune with you, this is it. And we simply pray, O Spirit, that you would be to us all that you have promised. Lord, over this past year, we have discovered that we are connected in ways that we couldn't possibly imagine. And even as we pray that you might restore to us the joy of our salvation, we pray too that we might not think of salvation as something that is exclusive to us and excluded from others. For even as we are learning with vaccines, even as we learn with such things as Black Lives Matter, so too do we learn that when it comes to salvation, when it comes to your presence and plan for the world, that it is not your plan that any should be left behind. It is not your plan that we should be careless about others or thoughtless about others, even frankly judgmental about others. Lord, let us turn around and see the world that you have created, the world that you called good, the world that includes people who are different, the world that includes people that we don't fully understand, and understand that they too you called good. And as we move forward as a Holy Spirit church, as a Pentecostal church, Lord, may we come to understand the nature of salvation, the nature of grace, the nature of love, and the nature of your desire for all. We pray for those who have special need of you in these days. We pray for those who are lonely, who are separated, that we soon might be connected. We pray for those who are sick, who are grieving, who are recovering, that they might be restored to wholeness. We pray for leaders who need an extra measure of wisdom and fidelity. We pray for communities that have been harder hit than our own. We pray that in all of these things we might be your faithful people, your hands, your feet, your heart, knowing, sharing, doing good deeds, so that people might see us and praise our Father in heaven. This we ask, Lord, this we ask, Jesus, this we ask in the power of the Holy Spirit, today and always. Amen.